Now, watch this. Verse 14, I'll go quickly. It says, "For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body?" Obviously, answer, no, that's not true. "And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body?" Obviously, no. "If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where were the smelling?" You see, God didn't give us all the same gift. God didn't make us all the same. God gave you a purpose and a place in the body of Christ. And it may be very visible. It may be very behind the scenes. But God has, with that place, He gave you a supernatural ability to fulfill the purpose that He gave you. Verse 18, "But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased Him." So if your gift is the gift of wisdom, God gave it to you, and it pleased Him to give it to you, and you have a supernatural ability to use that wisdom, and the body of Christ needs it. I don't know percentages, and I can't tell everyone what their spiritual gift is, but the body needs your spiritual gift for it to function fully and at full go. Verse 19, "And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. The eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary." Feeble there, or weak, they're necessary. And I would say to you, our smallest fingers necessary. Our small toes are necessary, those parts of the body. "And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked." God tempered the body, or God arranged it. Verse 25, "That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it." You know, someone just told me, we were talking on the way down to Cincinnati, someone in our church had broken their toe here just a couple days ago. So he was walking through the house at night and hit his toe on something and broke his toe. Well, I'll tell you what, not only did his toe hurt, but his whole body suffered with him. Do you understand? We'll read this verse again. "And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it." When one of our folks rejoices, we should all rejoice with them, shouldn't we? We should all be happy. And when one of our people is hurting, we should all hurt with them. It says, "Now you are the body of Christ and members in particular, and God has set some in the church." Now watch this, because this is important in this whole debate about gifts. He's going to list several gifts here, and he's going to list them in a specific order. Now watch. He says, "God has set some in the church, first, apostles." Now, it's not an accident that he lists apostles first. It was the primary gift. It was the main, if you're the apostles, Paul and Peter and John. Okay? It says, secondarily, he gave some to be prophets, preachers, teachers. Thirdly, teachers. And after that, miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Now he's listed some more gifts here that weren't listed before. All right, so he lists the gifts. He lists the first apostles. Watch the one he lists last. The one he lists last is tongues. Now when we get to chapter 14, we're going to find out that the church at Corinth was having a big argument, apparently, over the whole thing with tongues. So I don't think it's an accident that he lists tongues last, because he's going to say it's the least of all the 18 gifts listed. It's the least of the gifts. And Corinth, the church at Corinth, is having an argument over it. Now watch in verse 29. He says, "Are all apostles?" What's the obvious answer? No, all aren't apostles. We know that. Are all prophets? No. So you see, some people try to teach that. You know what? If you want the gift of faith, ask for it. If you want the gift of healing, ask for it. Well, you're not getting it because you don't have enough faith. That's not scriptural. Are all apostles? Well, if you want to be an apostle, ask to be an apostle. Well, that's foolish. He says, are all apostles? Obviously not. Are all prophets? Obviously not. He says, are all teachers? Obviously not. So you just can't ask God. You say, well, God, I want to be a teacher. Well, if that's not your spiritual gift, that's not what you ought to be doing. All right? Or if you don't have the gift of administration, you shouldn't be in an administrative position. So he's making an obvious statement. Are all workers of miracles? Obviously not. Now, you got to be pretty bold with some of these people. I figure Paul had everything God wanted him to have. So it wasn't Paul, the Apostle Paul's position to be asking for a gift that God hadn't given him. So, and Paul did not get it because he didn't have enough faith. And Paul wasn't healed. Paul had a thorn in the flesh and was not healed. He says he asked God 3 times to heal him, and God did not heal him. So who are we to say, well, Paul, you would have been healed if you had enough faith. Epaphroditus was not healed, and I doubt it was because he didn't have enough faith. He was a companion and co-worker with the Apostle Paul. So a lot of times people teach today, say, well, you're not being healed because you don't have enough faith. No, I don't believe that. All right, do you understand why? Some people argue this. They say, if God's going to heal you, he will give you enough faith to be healed. So then he says in verse 30, have all the gift of healing? Obvious answer, no. And then he says, do all speak with tongues? Obvious answer, no. Now, some people try to teach, the extreme Pentecostals try to teach that if you're saved, you'll speak in tongues. And if you haven't spoken in tongues, you're not saved. Well, Paul says you do all, he gives all these questions, apostles, prophets, teachers, workers of miracles. The answer is no, 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 no. Well, there's not an answer yes here in the middle of the next verse. It says, do all speak with tongues? The obvious answer is what? No, all don't speak in tongues. So it's not a question of you're going to speak in tongues just because you asked for it. If you have the gift of tongues, you can speak in tongues. Do all interpret? The obvious answer is no. Now let me say this. Of all the people that I study and read and the writers that I follow and I base my ministry on, John R. Rice is the number one in that list. I've trust what he writes. I never used to even preach something until I could read where he said it, because I wanted to make sure I was right. And so I appreciated him. I loved him, and he's passed away now. But his position on the tongues issue was that people can still speak in tongues. But for the most part, the gift has ceased. But there are, he said, I would not rule it out that it can happen. And I guess I take that position. I think as a whole, the gift has ceased to exist. But to just totally say it can never happen, I don't want to say that. You know, God wants someone to speak in tongues today. I'm sure he can do that. All right? So, do you understand what I've said here in verse 29 and 30? Are all apostles? No. Are some apostles? Yes. Are all prophets? No. Are some prophets? Yes, they are. Do some have the gift of tongues? Yes, they do. Do all people? No, they don't. All right? I think it's important in the order he puts them in there, because he says first apostles, second prophets, and then he starts listing the other gifts. Maybe the most common gift, you may be sitting there tonight saying, I don't know what my spiritual gift is. Maybe the most common gift is the gift of, down here it says in verse 28, it says the gift of healings and the gift of helps. A lot of people have the gift of helps. It's supernatural. They walk into a room that has to be set up or cleaned up or all put together, and they just roll up their sleeves, they dig in, and they help. And they help, and they make things happen, and they help make things happen, and they thoroughly enjoy it. The first man I ever had walk down the aisle as a pastor had a master's degree from Harvard, and he came to our church at the Holiday Inn in New York. And every week I'd catch him helping. Here's what he would do. He wasn't there when we set up, but he would be there when we closed down. He would carry all the hymn books down to the trunk of my car, and he'd put them in a car. Then he'd go get all the toys from the nursery. He'd get them all together, and he'd take all the toys and put them down in the trunk of my car. He was a helper. He was brilliant. When he and I would talk, he would use words that I didn't know what they were, honestly. He'd talk right over my head, and I would just nod at him. And I'd act like I knew what he was saying. And he's brilliant. Today, he lives in Colorado Springs, and his job in the church is he parks cars. He stands in a parking lot, and he parks cars. Now, and I'm just telling you, he has the gift of helps. He's a helper. Good man, highly intelligent. He's done well in his life, and he's a helper. That's his gift. There's no question. Final verse. Covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way.